friends, I'm just believing God for the more. I'm just going to start out that way. I'm telling you, I'm believing God for the more. Amen, Pastor. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's a good time to go, I'm in agreement, right? It is. Tonight at 6:30, we failed to mention this, but tonight at 6:30 is the grand finale rally of the 40 Days of Hope. And we're hosting it here at 6:30 tonight. There is pastors from throughout the area that will be with us tonight. Pastor Herbert from All People's Church, Robert will be with us. Pete Contreras from New Vision Church will be with us. Pastor Tony Folio from Sunrise will be with us. Pastor Chris Leeper, who's director of 40 Days of Hope, will be here tonight. All those so far, all of them that I mentioned, are be sharing a little bit about what God's been doing during the 40 days. I get the privilege tonight of sharing a little bit about the 40 days. It's going to be a great night. Heather Nunn, who we all know, Heather comes. She's leading worship tonight. And so it's going to be a great night. And it would be awesome if Crosspoint was represented. Not just in a physical building, but your body being here at 6:30. So they keep telling us you need to bring out chairs. I'm not bringing out chairs. I'm going to pack out the house, and then they can stand on the sides if that's what happens, overflow crowd, and just enjoy a larger group tonight, right? So if that happens, fantastic. But whatever happens, God's going to show up in a great way. And I really, really, really want you to join us tonight at 6:30. Kids, come on up. Let's get you out of here. We forgot. So let the kids come on up. We send them out. We bless them in Jesus' name. We love our children. We pray God would just continue to work in their life. We pray for evangelists and pastors and teachers and apostles and prophets to be raised up, Jesus, in your name. How many want to dream with us about having 50, 60, 70, 100 kids meeting upstairs and throughout the facility on a Sunday? How many want to believe for more? Good. Just want to make sure. Next Sunday is going to be amazing. Cannot wait. One of the things strategically we've done over the years is that Easter Sunday is just who we are. We don't change a lot of who we are on Easter Sunday because we don't want people to come, check us out, and go the following week if they come back. Well, what happened to the guys the week before? Where'd they go? We want people to see us in who we are. The DNA of this house will be expressed whether it's Sunday, Easter, whether it's Palm Sunday. We're going to be who we are. So next Sunday, we're going to have some guests that will be here. Hopefully, you've taken your card and you've invited somebody to come, hopefully more than one. And let's enjoy next Sunday together as God is going to be here. We're starting to fund. We had one phone call that came into my particular phone in my office, and they were ticked off at us because they said, how dare you send me something about Trump? And they were fired up, man. Like, I'll never, you know, about. And they never left their name, their address, or phone number. So I'm like, all right, thanks for sharing. Move on. We will not be talking about Trump next week, but we'll be talking about the Trump card. You'll find out what that is next week. I want to spend a few moments this morning talking to us. Really, in a sense, it's a springboard off of last week on covenant. And I've still been pondering covenant. I don't know how many of you've got your little salt container that you received as you came forward. We've got, where'd it go? Took off our, they moved our salt. This was done last week. Some of you think, oh, how pretty. If you weren't here, you won't understand context. But we made covenant last week. Everybody got a little salt bag, a different colored salt bag. And we all went through the line and poured our particular salt into this. And the thing about this container is that wherever you put your salt, you can't open it up and go back down in it and pull your color or your salt packet back out. You are now blended in to this family. And that's the way covenant is supposed to be. It certainly doesn't suggest that if God calls you to another place or that God is moving you on, that you can't be released to do that. That's not what's being suggested. What is being suggested, though, is covenant's a lot deeper than what we understand. And it's something that the church in America doesn't understand. And I'm not preaching on covenant, but I'm touching on covenant again because I'm convinced that our church would be in a different place if we and others would have made a better commitment to covenant. And there are times when the covenant thing just doesn't work. Honestly. I mean, Paul and Barnabas, you read this in the New Testament, there was a parting of ways. But it wasn't a parting of ways where they hated each other. They actually came back and reconciled. But it was just more of a disagreement. We can bless disagreements. We all can disagree, right? But in our disagreement, it doesn't have to divide. So we, if you didn't hear it, go to the app and download last week's message. I really believe it would absolutely rock your world. Great job, Pastor Danny. Great job. There was a famous doctor, that medical missionary doctor that was called to China a long, long time ago. And of all the names that God gave this man, he gave his name Dr. Barlow. Yeah, Mark Barlow. Dr. Barlow was in a particular province in China in the early 20th century. And a strange disease came to this community in which he was working, and there was no remedy. It was killing people left and right. There was no laboratory available for research. So Dr. Barlow constantly filled his notebook with observations of this dreaded disease, which they had no knowledge of. And then, armed with a small vial of the disease, the germs from the disease, he set off for the United States of America. And just before he arrived, he took that vial and he put the germs into his own body and then hurried to the Johns Hopkins University Hospital where he had studied. He became a very sick man. He turned himself over to his former professors as a human guinea pig, so to speak, for their study and for their experimentation. A cure was found because of this, and the young doctor recovered wholly. He sailed back to China with scientific treatment for the disease and saved many, many, many lives. So what's that got to do with anything? I'll tell you what it has to do with. In this case, a person who has made room for a biblical future also has room for God's influence and for compassion towards others. In other words, he had so much compassion for the people that God had sent him to that he had a heart that expanded so big, he said, I'm willing to put this disease in my body in hope I can find a cure, only to go back in my now healthy state to save many, many people. Our capacity, our ability to have compassion and love for one another is what I'm asking God for in this season. I'm asking God to help us see things through his eyes. I'm asking the Father to help us be broken for lost humanity. I'm asking God to raise up a church in an awakening the likes that we've never seen before. I'm asking God to awaken our hearts to have such love and compassion that wherever we go, we're willing to be affected, even by sin, if you will, not living for sin, but be affected by sin in the context of a dreaded germ that went into his body in the hopes that we will expand our capacity to feel what other people feel and love them so well that they come to know the Jesus that we worship here on Sundays. And hopefully Monday through Saturday. Citizens of heaven can live secured lives on earth, and generosity replaces pettiness. When we begin to see things through the eyes of God, we begin to allow love to replace greed. We begin to allow peace to replace anxiety. And I believe in part that growing the fruit of the Spirit will counter the works of the flesh. I really want to talk a bit this morning about how we can grow the fruit. I've touched on this before. One of my favorites early on in our ministry was a man by the name of Dr. Paul Schock. And Paul Schock, how many have heard the famous evangelist in Africa? His name slipped me right now. Reinhard Bonnke. Anybody heard of Reinhard Bonnke? But Dr. Paul actually mentored Reinhard Bonnke. And one of my first encounters ever in ministry, I was single, before I had met Candy and married her. I had met Dr. Shock as he came to the church I was a youth pastor at. And we went to Modesto for a quick lunch after church. And on the way back, in Modesto and then that region, even more so at the time, you would leave one city, and in between that city and the next city, there was lots of orchards. And we call them almonds, they call them almonds. Fruit trees, all kinds of produce, and they have little stands set up along the road. And on our way back to the church where we were, where he was having meetings, there was a little stand, and he said, "Hey, let's pull off," and he and his wife, "let's get some fruit." They go, "Okay." We pull off to buy some peaches or whatever it was. And in the midst of just simply buying a little crate of fruit, Dr. Shock stops and looks at the lady and says to her, "You know, Jesus loves you." And he began to pray for her right there on the spot. I'm like, where did I miss this growing up? You see, he taught me something later on when he came to another church we were on staff at. He said this, "It's important that you learn to grow the fruit of the Spirit in your life and develop the gifts." In charismatic circles, we love the gifts. We love to practice what we just practiced. We love to pray for the sick. We love to believe God for the more in your life, right? We love that. But if we're not careful, we'll live for the expression of the gifts rather than grow the fruit of the Spirit in our life. And I want to touch on that this morning because I believe our capacity to walk in covenant is really predicated on our ability to grow the number one fruit listed in Galatians, and that's the first fruit of love. You will never walk in covenant if we don't have an expression, a capacity to love people so much that they would take a vial of poison, put it into their body, go back to the United States, and not by airline, but by boat, and get back to the United States in hopes to find a remedy for that disease to take back to a people group that God called you to. We struggle in America to show up for church on a Sunday morning, yet alone have compassion for lost humanity. It's true, you know it. I know what we think sometimes, we think, well, man, The Rock's big and all the other churches are big. Yeah, but they don't take into consideration the hundreds of churches in between that and other big churches. God's called us to touch the world with his love. And I believe this morning God wants us desperately to grow in our understanding of the fruit of the Spirit. When we're armed with the fruit, we will reflect the image of Christ and assist in bringing a cure to lost humanity. For all the issues of sin that's around us, all the battles of sin and death, his kingdom will come and his will be accomplished on earth if we are the ones willing to carry the message of hope. It's of utmost importance that we understand that the marks of true spiritual formation and the signs of maturity in Christian growth are found not in the gifts of the Spirit, rather found in producing the fruit of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 and 2 says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels," the gifts of the Spirit, if you will, "but not have love," the fruit of the Spirit, "I am only a resounding gong," or a clanging cymbal. "If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move a mountain, but have not love, I'm nothing." I'm nothing. If our value and our worth comes simply because we're good at practicing the gift of the Spirit, we're missing something huge. If we're not learning to be more patient, this 40 days of hope irritated me to death. This prayer and fasting thing, I just hate it. Like you like it. Like, let's find out how many really fasted during the 40 days. It is brutal. And I know some people that will be here tonight that fasted the entire 40 days on water alone and juices. And when I get around them, I think, I am so not a Christian. They're walking around like this. I'm walking in, right? And they're barely moving because they've been fasting. And if you've ever fasted more than a day, You know it's not easy. But what I've been praying for during this fast is I've been praying a number of things. But one of the things, Father, I want more of you. I want to reflect you more. I want people to see more of you in my life. And I really believe he directed me towards, well, son, that's good. But I want you to really pray that the fruit of the Spirit in your life, my character in you, becomes manifest. I want to love more. I want more patience, more peace. Let's keep going. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20, puts things in proper context prior to delving into the fruit. It says, the list of the fruit of the Spirit, of course, in Galatians. Well, let me take you back to 1 Corinthians real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20 says this. Basically, it says, very simply, it says, as it is, there are many parts, yet they're one body. The context behind this, I believe, is it's important for us to understand that we're all going to function uniquely in the body, in the family. And as you begin to look around you and see such diversity, the way we look, the way we speak, the way we express our love, the way we function in covenant, it's going to be unique because we're all made up differently. We're made up of different parts. And if our expectation is you need to behave and act like me or function like I do, you're going to be disappointed because that's never the way God intended for it to be. In Galatians chapter 5, we have the list of the fruit of the Spirit. Many of you know them. For the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How are you doing? Paul expresses first the importance of being unified and then moves into into diversity within the body. Is it okay to not agree? I mentioned a moment ago, of course. Is it okay to practice spiritual gifts? Of course. But look, I love how Paul says it. In the beauty of the diversity of the gifts, and at the same time stresses the importance of each person is important. Not one is greater than another. Paul goes on just to explain in the following verses that he has appointed some specific roles, and others he simply manifests himself in the person whom is receptive and is a willing vessel. We speak of Ephesians 4, the fivefold ministries which we believe in. Romans 12 speaks of the gifts of the spirits. There's seven listed there. In 1 Corinthians 12, we know, lists also nine. But look at, in verse 31 of chapter 12, something very profound is spoken that I've been pondering a lot. And it says this, verse 31, but earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you still a more excellent way. Let me explain to you why the apostle is trying to talk to us about the fruit of the Spirit, the diversity of the family, and why the fruit of the Spirit is important to grow. Check this out. In the NIV, it says, and now I will show you the more excellent way versus some of the other translations. I read out of the ESV, but I will show you a more excellent way. I believe Paul is leading up to something here, and it's this. He's saying to earnestly or aggressively desire the gifts, but don't, let me rephrase that. I believe Paul is leading up to something here, and it's this. To earnestly or eagerly desire may help, actually meant keep desiring eagerly. That's a better way of saying it. Keep desiring eagerly. Don't stop being zealous for the gifts, but don't allow it to let up. Keep pressing in and continuing for the more of his Spirit being manifest in your life. But there were issues that warranted Paul's admonition to give more attention to that which is greater. We sometimes in charismatic circles, we think this is the greatest thing ever when God shows up on the scene. I love this. I live for this. I live to see God show up and begin to touch your life. I love when his presence messes us up. I love it. But in the midst of that, if we're not careful, we'll camp there and we won't continue to grow in the expression of the heart of God for people, for lost humanity. We'll become ingrown rather than have a passion for us to take what's inside of us and love people outside the walls. We're in a season right now where God is saying it's time for you to walk in covenant. It's time for the people outside the walls of the church to see that you're living the way my Bible, my word teaches you to live. We've lost a lot of people over 15 years that said, I don't want to do this, but I like all the other stuff. I love the manifestation. I love when people get, you know, sloppy agape on the floor. And I like when they, you know, get touched by God. I like when they fall over. I like when I have a platform to prophesy. I like when I get, and the Lord said, that's all a bunch of fluff. There's nothing to that if these other things I'm speaking of are not foremost in your life. If you're not growing in peace, if you're not growing in patience, if we're not growing in self-control, I mean, after all, isn't that what fasting's about? It's controlling an appetite. That's why I hate it. I want my stuff in the morning. I want my lunch in the afternoon. I want my double-double. Well, I hardly ever get those, but it just came out. Sorry. Can't wait for the lunch in just a few minutes. Don't quit going after the gifts. But in the midst of you going after those things, it's imperative that we understand that the marks of true spirituality and the signs of maturity in Christian growth are not found in the gifts of the Spirit. Rather, they're found in producing the fruit of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 and 2, if I speak in tongues of men and angels and not have the gift of love, I'm only a big old sounding symbol. I'm just making noise. I'm not affecting nothing. Paul has been taking the Corinthians, or talking to the Corinthians, who, it says, they did not lack any spiritual gifts, it says in verse 1:7, and showing them that the need to appreciate both the variety of the gifts and the unity of the body. He wanted that to be the case. You got the gifts, we've got unity, we're walking in covenant. Now, there could be an increase, actually maturity in the gifts of the Spirit. See, I think we're moving into a season as a church where you're mature and you're growing up. You're saying, I want to walk in covenant. I want to learn to love more. But I also want to learn how to prophesy. I also want to learn how to release a word of knowledge. I also want to be able to lift the gift of healing. I want to be used of God. He's saying, son or daughter, I want to use you as well. But I really want you to understand something. I'll use any willing heart, any vessel, anybody's willing to be, I'll use them. But what I believe God's saying to us, he said, not only will I continue to use you in the gifts, in the manifestation of my gifts, but I'm also going to increase your capacity to love, to walk in covenant, to be known in the city as a church. Listen, most people in the city of La Mesa have no clue what we do here on Sunday morning. Hundreds and hundreds of cars go by our church every single day. They have no idea what we do inside here. They don't care what we do inside here. But what they do know is when we leave the church and Monday through Saturday, we're learning how to be an organization called City Hope, called Crosspoint Life, that learns how to love a city and change the world. I promise you something. Eventually, they're going to make their way into a church. This one or some other church, because we've learned how to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. We've grown up. We've become sons and daughters that are no longer just simply eating a dish that was made for a baby, but now we're eating the meat. Now we're jumping into the good stuff. Now we're walking the way that God called you to walk, not as a child that's known him for 15 to 20 years. That becomes religion. That becomes perfunctory expression. You come in, you go out, you come in, you go out, you pay your tithe, you do whatever it's going to do, but you haven't grown. You have yet to lead someone to the Lord. You have yet to love somebody that is unlovely. I promise you, when you begin to walk in this kind of stuff, you begin to walk what we're talking about this morning, what's going to happen? He's going to put people in your life that you don't want around you. He's going to challenge what you're saying. He's going to put irritable people around you that completely are opposite the ones you want to hang with and be around. And Jesus said, that's who I hung with, man. So as he shows them about this interesting tension between the gifts, the fruit, walking in unity, walking in covenant, he says something in 1 Corinthians 12 I mentioned a moment ago. He said, I want to show you the more excellent way. I want to touch on that before we go home. What is the most excellent way? He points out that the most excellent way to exercise the gifts is simply the way of love. He does not suggest that the gifts are inferior to the fruit of the Spirit, which are all included in love. They're all wrapped up in love. Nor does he mean that spiritual gifts and manifestations are not needed if they have love. Though God's love and the love of Christ are the source of our salvation and all God has for us, love is not called a spiritual gift. It's not one of the charismata. It's not one of the supernatural gifts. It's a fruit. You can't develop love. You grow love. It's a fruit. Ponder that for a moment. All that's been said in chapter 12 shows the gifts are necessary for Christian life and ministry. But in Corinth, they needed correction. You know, the church sometimes needs correction. I promise you, in America, if some of the big churches in America begin to correct the people in the church, they would leave that church by the droves. If they begin to say, you are sinful, you are walking in sin, your lifestyle is sinful, they would begin to go, I ain't going to this church. I like that message on five ways to make more money. Well, if that's the way to grow a church, then I don't want anything to do with it. I want to raise a family. I want to grow a family that knows how to walk in covenant, walk in love. And even when tough times come, we say, I'm more committed to you than I am the conflict. I haven't been good at it at times. I've been in a lot of pain at times when people have left here angry at me, angry at us. But through it all, God's trying to teach me how to walk this out better, because he truly is the personification of love. Everything he is about love. That's who he is. It says the gifts are genuine, but the motives of believers were not all that they should be. Let us not forget that God has modeled this love to us in his person and in his work. The Bible tells us in 1 John, God is love. Let me challenge you this morning with the more excellent way. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Out of that love will manifest the other characteristics, the other eight fruit of the Spirit of God. The fruit of love is listed first because it's not a collection of unrelated fruits, which can either be selected or neglected according to our personal preference, our situation, our circumstance, or our agenda. It comes as a whole package that can only be cultivated and matured by a pursued and maintained relationship with God through the Son, Jesus Christ. That's the only way we can grow the fruit. Let me just wrap this up. The Bible confirms this in John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the what? Branches. If a man remains in me or abides in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nada. Nada. I did a little President Trump there. Nada. Nada. What's it say? Apart from me, you can do what? Are you kidding me right now? Nothing. How many things do we do that he's not in? Whoa, seriously. All the more reason when it's time for us to begin to pay attention to what he's trying to say to us. All the more important, we need to ask God to grow the fruit in our life, and as he's growing the fruit, continue to develop the gifts. This is not a new message. I preached this idea many times over the years because I believe that if a church is developing gifts without maturity in the fruit, then that church will be unhealthy and dysfunctional. I do not believe we're dysfunctional. I do not believe we're unhealthy. How many believe that you don't judge old adage, an old, you don't judge a book by its cover, right? The only way to know if that book's any good, you read it. You can't always judge a church simply by who shows up on a Sunday. You need to look for the fruit of that church. You can go to a website and see some good things, but a website, we can make websites say what they want them to say. You can actually make people think things about you that you're not actually doing. We can create a persona that people believe and buy into and go, wow, you're amazing. When in fact, there is no fruit. There's nothing happening. We're just presented as though it is. It's like biting into a plastic, you know, apple. That looks really good. Oh my, not good. Not good. So guess what? Here's the bottom line. The more excellent way. The more excellent way is to start by asking God, even today, to activate a new level of love in your life. That the manifestation of your life would be the fruit of love. That you would learn how to love people that you've never loved before. It's a dangerous prayer. But the apostle says, it's the more excellent way. The more excellent way is to increase our capacity to love the unlovely, to care for the hurting, to look for those that need a savior. I don't know about you, but I'm so ready. I'm so ready to see what's been prophesied, a new Jesus movement come to America. One that when it begins to happen, we're not like the ones that were in the temple praising God, asking for a Messiah. All the while outside, people were lifting up their palm branches. Hosanna, Hosanna. And here comes Jesus riding into the city. He rides right past the church. And guess what? They missed him. Those same people raising their palm branches, their fronds, the same ones that crucified him. This morning as we leave, my thought is simple. When we pray for God to do something beyond our wildest imagination, be prepared for him to answer your prayer. Be prepared. I think sometimes we pray something and when it doesn't happen, we stop praying for it. Keep praying for this, you guys. Keep believing God. Listen to me. Keep praying because we're on the precipice. It's already happening. It's already happening. God is shaking San Diego. Tonight you'll hear stories of what God's doing throughout the region, to the north and south and east and west. There's more prayer being lifted up than I can ever remember in San Diego, both known and unknown. And God, I believe, is about to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. He's about ready to do something that we thought about, maybe even dreamt about, but we're about ready to see the awakening. We're about ready to see the church awaken. We're about ready to see people come to know Jesus. Some of you might know, but we talked about during this season for Easter Sunday to pray for that one that when you think of them, and this isn't my language, but it's a friend of mine, a pastor, he said, hell no, or hell yeah. In other words, the person that they're praying for is someone they think there's no way in the world they're ever gonna come to church. And they think of that person, they go, hell no, they'll never come to church. That's the person you want on your list. That's the person that God's giving you capacity to love. That's the person that God's saying, don't you stop praying for them to find me. Don't you stop, don't give up on them. Because the moment you give up on them, maybe you're the one that God's called to bring them to a place of salvation, to a place of repentance, to a place where they now live for something they had lived for before. The world's looking for your answer. You've got it. Why do we have to beg? We don't have to beg. They're all around you. We've got cards that we ask you to hand out. I've been handing these things out like they're candy, right? People never reject them. They may end up in the curb. I don't care. All I'm doing is what God asked me to do. The more excellent way is for us to love. The more excellent way for us to walk in covenant is to love. Start with that first fruit and watch the other eight. Watch the other eight begin to increase as well because they're all wrapped up in that one, L-O-V-E. Okay? Think about the person this morning you just don't like. Start right there. They might be in the room. It's true. I remember watching people come in the door of this church. They walk in the back door. They see the person that's near where they are, and they go the opposite way. It's not what I'm talking about. It's not covenant, right? Stand with me. Let's prepare to go next door and have a feast. Father, thank you for Palm Sunday. Thank you that you are amazing. Thank you for that entry into the city in preparation for the last week, the Holy Week, the Passion Week. Thank you that you we still celebrate the fact that you're willing to go into the city knowing that that would be the end of your natural physical life. But we celebrate today, Hosanna. We lift up your name. And God, I pray that if there anything was said today that you want to resonate in the heart of a person, that it would be deposited, and that God, they would be, you'd be able to take that seed of deposit and begin to grow it, begin to nurture it, begin to see it come forth. I pray, God, that we would grow the fruit this morning, starting with the fruit of love. And I pray, God, that all the other eight would become so ingrained in us. God, we would grow so mature and so deep and so wide in our capacity to love and to care for people that, God, the manifestation gifts would increase exponentially. We'd see more people healed. We'd see more people come to faith. We'd see more people walk in wholeness. Father, I declare the sozo of the kingdom over this region, over La Mesa, over this house. And I thank you for sons and daughters that are willing to run with us. We honor you. We bless you. We thank you for the healings that took place today. We thank you, God, in advance for the stories we're going to hear. And